You're listening to Out of Bounds with Daily Bruins Sports here on UCLAradio.com. Daily Bruins Sports is your ultimate source for UCLA athletics, and Out of Bounds provides you with an in-depth look at the UCLA sports scene like nobody else can. Here are your hosts, Andrew Erickson and Kevin Bowman.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Out of Bounds Daily Bruins Sports here on UCLAradio.com. I am Daily Bruins Sports Senior Staffer Andrew Erickson.
And I am Daily Bruins Sports Editor Kevin Bowman.
It's been a while. It really has.
I mean, kind of.
We recorded our first video together the other day.
I'm thinking that.
That was kind of groundbreaking just because, you know, we really don't have faces for video. I mean, you folks back at home, you really can't see our faces, but we really have radio faces, if you know what that term means. So,
sadly, I do.
Yeah, we sadly do know what that means. We see it in the mirror every day. So that's really depressing. No, but anyway, yeah, we were in Memphis to cover the Sweet 16 at the FedEx Forum, the normal site of the Memphis Grizzlies, as well as the University of Memphis. They're the Tigers, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, while we were there, we, of course, indulged in a little bit of Memphis barbecue, the classic, you know, there's the hot barbecue. Tony Parker of the UCLA basketball team actually recommended Central Barbecue, so we took him up on that. Actually, twice. We went there twice. So
two different locations, though. They have two in the same city.
Right. I think like there's a third apart. One, but we didn't go to that, so.
We missed out.
Right. And, you know, I'd like to say my cholesterol is probably 4,000. I don't really know what cholesterol units are. I'm not a doctor, per se.
4,000 cholesterols?
Cholesterol units, you know.
I don't know. Cholesterol
is plural. Is that metric?
I don't know.
Okay. And we really ate nothing but barbecue and fast food for about 3 days.
We had one meal. We tried to go to IHOP, but they wouldn't serve us.
Yeah.
So we just left because it was like 20 minutes and they hadn't seated us yet.
Yeah.
And we just went to McDonald's and we decided to order 7 spicy McChickens. We got 2 each and then...
No shame.
One of our photographers only got one, so he wimped out. But yeah.
And
it took about 20 minutes for them just to cook the spicy McChickens.
Right, and then the next day, we got 50 donut holes. Just no reason, just because there was a Dunkin' Donuts. And that's not usually something that's on the West Coast, or that's, you know, it's not on the West Coast, it's not in California, so we decided, hey, why not...
Go big or go home.
Right, exactly. And we went big, and
then we went home
afterwards. Now we're home. So, anyway, we'll go into the world-famous Westwood Weekend Review because I feel like that's the next logical thing we can do with the show. So, men's volleyball continued its stretch of recent struggles, losing 3-1 at BYU. What's wrong with this team? Because I feel like they were pretty good to start the season.
I think they have some injuries. I know that Robert Page is kind of hurt, and he kind of played in this BYU game, but not that much. I think right now they're the 8th seed in the MPSF, which is the final seed. So they were, a month ago or so, they were national title contenders.
Best in the
nation. And right now, they're looking like they might not even make the playoffs at all.
Wow.
So that's kind of interesting. Moving on, though, men's golf finished tied for second after hitting 5 under par at the Goodwin tournament. It's called the Goodwin.
As opposed to the Badwin tournament.
That was the worst joke I've heard in my life. It took place in Stanford. I don't know if it was like against Stanford.
Okay. Gymnastics placed 4th in the Pac-12 championships with a score of 196.535. That's not too good for them, is it?
They were pretty disappointed, I think.
Yeah, I would imagine so. I feel like they're the second best team in the Pac-12 on any given meet. I feel like Oregon State's pretty good. I feel like Utah's pretty good. I don't know about the Arizonas, but I know UCLA is generally up there because they're a team that's consistently a threat for the Super Six. So I don't know.
And softball went 7-1 over spring break. They had a lot of games, including a 3-game sweep of Utah to close it off. So they're another team that's rolling right now. I think they're I don't know actually what they're ranked in the nation, but they're probably near the top. But they've lost only a couple games.
And swim and dive finished the season by finishing 21st in the NCAA championships.
So, yeah.
A couple people swam well.
I think there's like 5 records they broke for UCLA or something. But
okay.
I don't know. Men's tennis got a 4-1 and 4-0 wins over Washington and Oregon, respectively. So they're continuing to play well. They got some 3 freshman studs, I think, that are kind of carrying them. Well, I think, I can't remember his name, but he's hurt.
I feel like the only team that matters that they play in the Pac-12 is USC, and that's consistently it. It's just like, let's beat everybody else. If somebody beats us, it's an upset. And then if they, you know, they always go back and forth with USC, and that's kind of UCLA's mantra there. I don't know. Baseball had won 8 of its – that's a very passive tense, Kevin. I'm a little disappointed. So.
Well, no. You'll see.
Oh, 8 of its last 9 before losing 2 out of 3 to Arizona State this weekend. Arizona State, I feel like, is a program that it's coming hard times. I think they had some NCAA sanctions recently. So, but they, you know, they kind of have that baseball pedigree. But again, UCLA baseball is just kind of, I don't know, they're kind of okay this year.
It's hit and miss this year.
Stop
literally.
It. Stop it.
Okay.
Stop it.
Women's tennis extended its shutout streak to 5. They've had 5 straight wins without giving up a single match point, I guess. So they got 2 4-0 wins over Washington State and Oregon. So they're another team, and I've said this a couple times, but UCLA's got a lot of teams this score in this spring season that are looking like they could make a title run.
And as we mentioned, men's basketball reached the Sweet 16 before losing to number 1 seed in the South, Florida, 79-68 on Thursday. Kevin, we were at the game, but first, you know, we haven't had a show in a while, so I remember a while back we had a draft of teams in the Pac-12 tournament, and I know we were both sitting down in the last game of the tournament, and it was a game between, oh gosh, I don't know, UCLA and Arizona, and I believe those were both teams I drafted. So even sitting at that game, just by nature of those two teams even tipping off, I had already beaten you. So I could just rest on my laurels for all 40 minutes of that game, which was
you
just
you gave yourself the number one overall
right.
pick.
It was fantastic. It was fantastic.
You rigged the whole thing.
And as a result, I'd like you to talk about your parking over the weekend, because you are
really
arguably
good.
The... like in the top, you know, I know probably say like a few hundred people with driver's licenses. You are in like the 0.1% of like bad parkers, I would say.
Okay. Well, first off, I will say parallel parking is not my thing.
Okay.
It took about 20 minutes to try and parallel park for like a wide open spot. There wasn't even cars nearby. Just getting like parallel with the curb.
Right.
That's an issue for me because I don't know like which way to turn my steering wheel.
Right.
And
it's
I also have like a deathly fear. I'm just going to like run someone over. And just like live forever knowing that I killed someone. I had a nightmare about this once.
Just stop.
Okay. Generally, though, I'm okay with parking at actual parking spots. I think I was flustered by like the new car. It was a little more.
It was a Dodge minivan.
I'm
so
used to like
was,
a 10-year-old Dodge minivan that's
right.
not quite as new. So I had some struggles getting in between the lines.
Well, you know, I
was working. I improved. I'm not sure if I improved.
A little bit.
I mean,
the problem with, you know, your driving in general, and this is, you know, we'll get off this topic in a minute because this is a sports show, but it's like when it's like, hey, Kevin, make a left here. You're like, no, guys, I'm just going to go around. And it takes like 5 extra minutes
well,
just because
I
don't
want to cross the double yellow line, dude.
At that one point.
It's
so,
illegal.
Anyway, no, I'm glad we can.
I kept us all alive.
I'm glad we can work through these issues on the show. But anyway, yeah, let's now talk about UCLA in the NCAA tournament. And their first game was, you know, against Tulsa. And they stayed a Danny Manning coach team. And they stayed pretty close the entire time until Norm Powell kind of led the push late in that game. And that kind of seemed to be a confidence booster for UCLA. The fact that they could get that first win and really kind of get that, you know, lack of the tournament win off their back. And that seemed like something that was plaguing them for the last couple of years.
Yeah, Norman Powell really had a great, really those two games in San Diego. It was a homecoming for him. I'm not sure if he's the leading scorer both games, but he was definitely among them. He kind of, it was like all year, he had the same role, just being kind of like the spark plug, where when the team kind of gets a little lackadaisical, or lackadaisical, as they like to say.
Laxical-daisical.
Laxical-daisical, exactly what he likes to say. He kind of just because his mindset is always, for the most part, get to the rim and try and embarrass someone with a dunk. Where a lot of the other team likes to like, oh, I'll just take a mid-range jumper. He's the one that really always drives to the rim, and that's the mindset they needed, especially in those first couple of games, and he kind of got them into that groove. So that helped him a lot in those first two games.
Yeah, and if you've seen my March Madness bracket, you know that I'm a huge sucker for big upsets in March Madness. So I thought Stephen F. Austin, I thought they were a great team. I thought they had some great quotes. Like one of their players was like, man, the Gatorade in the locker room was awesome. Or like the police escort is something we've never had before.
And the coach described him as like, oh, he could be in,
yeah,
he could be in the Duck Dynasty.
He's
so.
Like, the coach is like, they asked him about his
star player, dude.
Well, no, they asked him about like the resources he had his program.
Okay.
He's like, I'm fine going to an Outback. It's like that was not the response I was expecting to that question, but that's great anyway, you know. I feel like Outback's like a decent place.
Never been there.
Okay.
Probably never will.
Outback Steakhouse. No, but yeah, I like Stephen F. Austin. I thought they were kind of the feel-good story. They had this, you know, big-time win over VCU where Desmond Heyman, their guard, their star player, gets fouled with like 9 seconds
quotations
left.
Around the foul.
Gets fouled, 9 seconds left, and makes a three-pointer, makes a free throw. They win in overtime. He hits another big three in overtime, and I thought their momentum was going to carry them, but they were just like not... they just didn't come out ready to play against UCLA.
Basically,
and I think
it was height. I don't know if they lacked the talent. I mean, they had their shooting guard, can't remember his name, but... Thomas Walkup, yeah. He had a really great game, actually. He was able to get into the lane and
sweet
score.
Facial hair, too.
He had a great little like, chin strap thing going
chops,
on.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, okay. Mutton chops with like actual connecting.
Right.
It wasn't mutton chops, come on. But he was able to get the lane, but really most of SFA was just, I think the tallest starter, really the tallest rotation player was 6'6".
Right.
And that's like
Jacob Parker was 6'6".
That's the size of UCLA's point guard is taller than that, basically. Right. I mean, Kyle Anderson is an anomaly, but still just the size disparity was too much.
UCLA's shortest player in their starting lineup is Norman Powell at 6'4".
Yeah.
So, and there was a 5'7 player on
guarding Kyle Anderson
to open the game. So that was a sight to see. But yeah, I mean, it was a good run for Stephen F. Austin. I think their coach, Brad Underwood, not to be confused with Frank Underwood of House of Cards, but he seemed like a really, like, a guy that could motivate his team. You know, it's a school that really hadn't had a lot of success in recent years. It was just their second NCAA tournament appearance ever, and they had won, I think, 29 straight games at one point. So, I mean, that's huge for that team. I think that, you know, that's schools like that, when they make, you know, those runs in March Madness, even if it's just one win, that does wonders for a program. Like, a guy that's, you know, the potentially the best player in your conference will come to your school. You know what I mean? Or it's those little victories. And I think, you know, that coach could potentially see a new job opportunity open up pretty soon. So,
and even that's his first year, too. So
right.
Exactly. Big accomplishment just one year.
And then, of course, UCLA went on to play Florida. And, you know, as UCLA-Florida matchups go, Florida wins them. So, it was the fourth time in, what, the last 9 years that Florida has knocked UCLA out of March Madness. And it was kind of something we expected. I mean, Florida's a very good team, and they haven't lost since December. But I think they put up a little bit more of a fight than maybe we had become accustomed to.
Yeah, UCLA in a lot of its losses, had kind of just not shown up to play, and you knew right from the get-go that it was going to be a rough night for them. So it had been games, like you look at the Oregon State game they lost, the Washington State game they lost, where they just kind of come out really flat and know from the get-go that they're not really, didn't look like they're really putting their full effort into it, and they kind of just gave up early. And this Florida game was not the case at all. They were fighting the whole time. Really, the problem, what they talked about afterwards, there's two. There was one, was that Florida was just a little too big and athletic inside, and they just had trouble getting offensive rebounds. And two, they just weren't making shots that they normally make.
Yeah, and I feel like there's something to be said for Florida playing two point guards to close out the game. I feel like that's kind of a bold move by Billy Donovan to do that, because that's not something a lot of teams do. But it really limited their turnovers, and to trust Casey Hill, I think that's his name, he's a freshman point guard, in addition to Scotty Wilbekin. I think those two really were able to share the ball handling well, even with not really working with that too much. I mean, I'm not sure if that's something they do. It doesn't seem like a team would really, you know, be accustomed to that, but it was an interesting move and one that really helped them down the stretch, kind of added a lot of stability, and one that UCLA really couldn't hang with. So they were down, what, 56-55, allowed another Florida basket, and then let it stay there for about 2.5 minutes. And, you know, against a team like Florida, and I mentioned this in our video, but against a team like Florida, they don't really give you a lot of windows of opportunity. And I feel like when you get one of those, you have to make a couple shots. You have to pass the ball around and look for an open shot or get somebody moving off a screen. And I didn't really feel like that was happening in that stretch. And I think they went like 0-4, 0-5 during that like 2.5 minutes. And that was about it. I mean, they didn't really get another opportunity. And Florida kind of took control of the game from that point. So, you know, I think that's how things go. Michael Frazier, also an unbelievable shooter. Yeah.
Yeah, and really, UCLA did a pretty poor job in the first half of actually guarding him. He seemed like he was getting a lot of wide open shots. And really, just the shooting in general. Florida, I don't have stats in front of me, but I feel like UCLA is probably a better shooting team than Florida's. They're kind of known for being a good shooting team, and Florida just really outclassed.
Shooting around 60% in the second half.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. But, yeah. I mean, for going as the number one overall seed, the team that was number one for a good month to end the season, I think UCLA put up a pretty good fight.
Yeah, and you mentioned Norman Powell kind of talked about them needing to make shots, and we have that clip right here.
Back now and look where this program came this season. Or is it still too close?
I'm really happy about what this program did. You know, the first year with the new coaches, I love these guys. It's been a lot of effort and work. You know, it's tough to go out this way, but this program has really changed in just a year of having the new coaches.
What's changed?
Just the whole culture around here. You know, it's a family atmosphere. Everybody loves each other. Everybody's competitors. You know, the coaches are fierce competitors. They want to win, you know, and they really instilled that into us at the beginning.
Did they show their experience? Could you tell this was an experienced team, especially when you guys were mounting those comebacks down the stretch?
Yeah, definitely. You know, when we made our run, you know, they didn't call a timeout. They didn't like calm down. They put it in the point guard's hands, took control of the, their team, and were able to make plays even when we're on a run. You know, that's what an experienced team does. You know, they don't need to stop the play. You know, they know how to adjust. They know how to play the game, and that's what they did today when we were making.
You know, and it brings up an important point. And of course, Norm Powell will be back next year. But the day after the game, Zach LaVine's dad told the LA Daily News that he's going pro, and then Kyle Anderson, of course, as expected, is going pro. So you lose two players like that right off the bat. Then you also lose the Wares, who are going to presumably play overseas. I think that you know that they'll make decent additions for a team overseas. And then, you know, Jordan Adams seems like a guy who's kind of 50-50 at this point. But, you know, what's going to be their biggest challenge next year in terms of kind of finding like a new rhythm? Because it seems like it's going to be like a very bigs heavy team next year, just with Tony and, you know, three of the new big guys that are coming on the team next year. I mean, I think you kind of have to restructure what you're doing.
I think maybe what Andy Enfield mentioned at the beginning of the year, that Steve Alford likes to play slow. I think you might actually see that next year. I think you might have said it a year too soon, because you have four power forwards, I believe, coming in as recruits. And one of them is a 5-star, two right. 4-stars, and a 3-star, I think. So, I mean, they're going to be pretty decent players. They're probably going to be a little raw, other than Kevon Looney, I think, should be pretty good right out of the gate. But you're only going to have, really, assuming Adams comes back, you're going to have Bryce Alford, Jordan Adams, Isaac Hamilton, and Norman Powell. And, I mean, I guess that's similar to the guard depth they had this year, but it just seems like it's going to be a lot more of a big-centered kind of team. They don't really have the same kind of athleticism with LaVine going there. They don't have as much versatility in the backcourt. They don't really have a true point guard. Bryce Alford, you can make an argument, but really, I think his biggest strength is his shooting. So they don't really have people to give other players the ball that much. I think you're going to see a lot more of a slower-paced team, maybe trying to morph into like an Arizona defensive-type, interior-type team, someone that can pound inside. But it's going to be very different. It's going to be interesting to see what Steve Alford does.
Yeah, well, I'm sort of the belief that any team without Kyle Anderson is kind of regressing a little bit, just because he kind of proved himself to be the leader of the team, and now you have a huge void there, where not only do you have to make up for production, but you also have to make up for leadership and, you know, somebody handling the ball and that kind of thing. So I think that, you know, that's something they're obviously going to have to confront. But another thing we see is that, you know, it's the end of the Ware twins.
Yeah.
And so we asked the Wares, or at least Travis Ware, what he felt about that, and kind of gave a lukewarm answer on never playing basketball with his brother again. So
it's sad, you know, sitting here in Atlanta, probably won't be able to play with my brother again. It's tough to handle. But, you know, you got to move on. You just got to move on at some point.
That's it?
Then, I'm sure we'll be in the gym and, you know, play pickup in the summer together. But, you know, maybe it'll work out to where we can get on the same team at some point eventually. But, we'll stay in contact.
Were you guys expecting at some point that you were going to get over that hump? You kept pushing.
I feel like I thought we were. You know, as a trend, I think this year, whenever we've gone on runs like that, we've been able to, you know, get past teams and kind of put them in our rear view. You know, to look up and realize we're still down after, you know, having the momentum shift our way, it's, you know, it was a little tough.
Yeah, I mean, so what do they do, you know, when they, like, leave each other? Do they, like, shake hands, you know? Like, I mean, how do you, like, say goodbye to, like, the twin, like, your identical twin that you've been with for 20-something years now?
I don't really know. I mean, don't have an identical
nice
twin.
Nice knowing you. I'm going off to Greece, and I will see
you
later.
I mean, they probably just communicate telepathically still, right. So it's not that big of a difference.
Okay, I guess that makes sense. But then also, you know, there's one player that's kind of left in limbo, and that is Jordan Adams, who, it would seem like he's kind of just gauging his position in the draft at this point, whether he'll go late first round, early second round, mid second round. So I think he might be closer to 50-50 than any of these guys. Really no word from him, but we asked him about his status coming into the draft and where he is on that right after the game.
Like, you guys were kind of on target from three, but maybe some of the shots you guys had hit in the past maybe just weren't falling.
Yeah, they did a great job at late contesting, so the threes looked open, but, you know, they were contest late, and we weren't making them like we usually were, so this was a bad shoot tonight.
So what, you guys went down big on the offensive boards. Were you guys just not as focused on that part, or were they just much better on the glass than any team you faced this season?
They're a great rebounded team already, and then some of the balls bounced away, so it was just tough. We couldn't really catch a break the whole game.
Have you thought about, you know, the, obviously it's the, you know, the loss is so fresh, but have you thought at all about that, you know, decision of whether you'll stay or come back?
No, I haven't thought about it at all. I've been trying to focus on this season, so I really wanted to get to the national championship game, so that's been our main focus for the whole season.
Yeah, I have no idea whether he'll stay or go. I mean, I think he obviously would help the team. He'd be their leading scorer again next year. But yeah, I'm interested to see what happens on that.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's 50-50, I think. I think he doesn't really serve to benefit a ton from coming back. I feel like he's kind of the player where he doesn't have a ton of athleticism. He doesn't have a very like unrefined game. I feel like he is kind of who he's going to be. He had a pretty decent statistical season. I don't know if he's going to really improve his draft stock a ton by getting a year older. So.
Yeah, we are going to take a break, but before we do that, let's play a game of multiple choice, and it is what have I consumed in my studies in the past day? Okay. The answers are A, 2 cups of coffee, B, 2 5-hour energies, C, a Red Bull, or D, all of the above.
I feel like I don't even know the answer. It's obviously D. The fact that you have to ask this, and the fact that your eyes are like.
Yeah,
I'm pretty tired, I can't tell,
but I feel like it's making for a more witty, you know, show, so. yeah, all right, so we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with more spring football talk. And we're back, Out of Bounds, Daily Bruin Sports, UCLAradio.com. I'm Andrew, he's Kevin. We're going to talk a little spring football, and obviously that starts tomorrow and extends through the end of the month. But I want to kind of get a sense from you of, you know, what players are you looking for to kind of potentially make an impact for UCLA this season? I know one guy that I think will be very good for UCLA is Devin Lucian, and he kind of came onto the scene at the end of the year after, you know, struggling a little bit, dropping some passes, not getting a lot of play time, and had three or four of his best games toward the end of the season. So I'm thinking that not necessarily he's going to fulfill the role of a Shaq Evans, but I think he'll, you know, be an impact wide receiver for UCLA, and I feel like he has the athleticism to do that. He's had the athleticism, but I think he'll be that player in the coming year.
Yeah, I know. I remember last spring he was talking some mad trash.
Best believe him coming for that spot.
He didn't quite come for it, though, but or reach it, I guess. So, yeah, he's a player I think will be interesting to watch. Also, wide receiver, I think Eldridge Massington being able to... I haven't really had a chance to see him at all. Getting a deep threat kind of... Usually struggled a bit with the deep balls last year. A little bit was Hundley just kind of overthrowing receivers, but he was a track star in high school. So I'm interested to see. I've heard that he's done some good stuff in practice last year on the kind of just the fades or something.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting. I'm interested in seeing Craig Lee. I've heard there was some hype about him coming out of high school. Maybe he's someone that can come in and contend for a starting running back spot or at least a member of that committee. Really, I think the person I'm most looking forward to see is Zach Whitley, though.
Yeah.
The freshman, early enrolled freshman linebacker. From what I had seen, he was touted as like a middle linebacker on like ESPN or Scout, but apparently he looks huge and looks like a little mini Miles Jack or like a
I think
same
he's,
size.
Well, he's
full
big,
size.
I think he might
Miles
be
Jack.
Almost bigger than Miles Jack.
But like, I've heard he has the athleticism, though, to also play outside. So
right.
I'm really interested to see just how good he is because he was an Alabama commit. Anyone who's like a 4-star that commits to Alabama is obviously really good. Flip the UCLA. From what I've heard, he looks huge. I've seen him on campus a couple times.
Yeah, we talked to him at signing day. So
yeah.
he was actually, you know, I mean, he's a sizable guy. I think, I think if you can kind of fill that role, I mean, you're not going to be able to. But Anthony Barr on the outside edge, that's a huge. Those are huge shoes to fill.
Yeah,
so, you know, you're gonna have Miles Jack. You're gonna have Eric Kendricks if he's healthy. And you're gonna have those guys like Kenny Orgioki potentially, Deion Hollins in the mix, but. You know, I think if you can kind of plug one of those holes or lock down one of those spots, so you have at least three solid guys coming into the season, I think that you're doing yourself a huge benefit just because, you know, I mean, you know, it's a core that was arguably one of the best in college football last year, and now you're down to two guys, and it's the two youngest guys. So, you know, this is interesting. It'll be interesting to see how UCLA kind of responds. I mean, the secondary is not a question at all this year, which is completely the opposite of what it was last year. Defensive line, I feel like you have two of those positions really set in stone in terms of Eddie and Kenny Clark.
And Owa is coming back, too.
Owa's coming back. You know, he struggled with injuries. If he can stay healthy this year and have a good senior season, I think...
Purdy's cut his hair, so...
Yeah.
Completely
more,
new dude.
More aerodynamic. so, yeah, I mean, that's also huge for them. And then I think their O-line might be a little bit more set than it was last year. I think, you know, with those young guys, and that really they harped on that all year, was how young these guys were. The fact that they're a year older, they can kind of read blitz packages a little bit better. I think that that'll help them down the stretch. So. Mm-hmm.
And also another O-line I'm looking forward to see, Pauasi Mawala.
Yeah.
Redshirted last year. He was – I had a class with him, actually. And as a offensive lineman, he's a lot trimmer than what I'm used to seeing. Like, yeah. He's not like a big, fat kind of guy you think of when you think of like a guard. I'm not sure if he's a guard or
he's a tackle. I mean, he has really long arms, and
he looks like he's like in good shape.
Right.
So.
I think he'll have pretty good leverage. But yeah, I think for the most part, I mean, most positions on this team are pretty set. You can talk about, you know, running back, maybe a second wide receiver position. I think like Devin Fuller is set in that one position.
That's,
I think
you
have the Y kind of opening up with Darius Bell being gone, but I think, you know, Thomas Duarte is really going to step in that role. He's going to be a very good player.
The quarterback competition is going to be really interesting.
Oh, well.
It's a joke.
I mean, maybe next year, maybe 2 years from now, but, yeah. You know, I think that one's kind of locked down. Linebackers, we mentioned, and then, of course, safety. I think those are all set. So
the one thing for the safety I'm just interested in seeing is if Priest Willis actually does get shifted there.
You're about to say Priest Holmes, right?
A little bit. I was like, which one is it? Priest Holmes is not on UCLA. But, yeah, he kind of struggled a bit at cornerback, and he was recruited as kind of a person who could do both, but didn't really work at cornerback, so if he could switch to safety, and maybe he was a 5-star, according to some, so... If he's able to actually live up to that as a safety role, it'd be interesting to see.
Yeah, well, we'll of course bring you more reports as practice takes place. We mentioned the first practice is tomorrow at 7 a.m. If you want to get up and go, it's open to the public at Spalding Field. So we might see you there. Who knows? This is Out of Bounds with Daily Bruin Sports here on UCLAradio.com. We'll see you next week. Later.